That school bell tells us it is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we are in the midst of a study of the history of Israel and of the reign of Solomon and of his wealth and his glory. And in the last class, we read and read and read and read about Solomon and all his glory and all his riches and all the things that he had and how he did not deprive himself of any desire of his heart. The Bible goes on and on about this, and yet there's still more to read that we'll be reading in the class session today. This is class session 547, and we'll enjoy reading about Solomon's wealth and glory in just a few moments. But until we do, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in guiding us through this study, we're looking at the words of an old preacher, E. A. Elam, and the Sunday school notes that he wrote for the Sunday schools of March 23rd, 1924. Now let's continue reading about the glory of Solomon. Solomon was exceeding rich. He had a constant stream of gold and silver pour into his treasury from the tributary nations, commerce, and other sources. He had a throne of ivory overlaid with gold. It was ascended by 6 steps that were overlaid with gold, with a footstool of gold. Around the seat were arms, and at each end of the seat stood a lion. On each end of every step also stood a lion. There was not the like made in any kingdom. All of Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and silver was as accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. And Solomon kept a standing army. We read in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 25 through 28, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victuals for King Solomon and for all that came into the King Solomon's table. Every man in his month, they let nothing be lacking. Barley also, and straw for the horses, and swift steeds brought they into the palace where the officers were, every man according to his charge. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 25 through 29, we read that Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he bestowed in the chariot cities with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he as sycamore trees that are in the lowland for abundance. And the horses which Solomon had were brought out of Egypt, and the king's merchants received them in droves, each drove at a price. A chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, and he placed in the chariot cities with the king of Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the lowlands for abundance. And the horses which Solomon brought out of Egypt to the king's merchants, received he them in droves, each drove at a price. And they fetched up and brought out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria did bring them out by their means. Reading this both from the book of Kings and from the book of Chronicles. And it says that he ruled over all the kings, from the river even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18, God had promised that all this territory would be his and his seed after him. And under Solomon, we see that this promise was fulfilled. God's word is always fulfilled. As Solomon prophesied in delivering God's protest against this system and rebellion against God, this led to oppression of the people. All this earthly splendor, magnificence, wealth, and glory of Solomon's reign led to heavy and burdensome taxation. Indeed, he took the sons of the people for his army. He made the yoke of his people grievous. He made their burdens heavy. We read in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, that when Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make Rehoboam king, and it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard it, for he was yet in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, and they sent and called him, that Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and of his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto me, depart, for in 3 days come again, and to me, and the people departed. And so you see, the people, while they dwelt in safety, yet economically, while Solomon prospered in all his glory, the people of Israel were oppressed. The kingdom, which they sought to give them prestige and glory among the nations of the earth, brought upon them oppression and ruin. God allowed them, under protest, to have a king. He allows people to do as they choose. The kingdom did exalt them among the nations, but it led to their downfall, even as a nation. God's way is always best. God's way today is best. To depend upon him for guidance, for protection, for the advancement of his kingdom is the only right scriptural and safe course. To seek the consolation and organization of the congregations and the one human system and government, as denominations do, is contrary to the wisdom of God, and it's the rejection of his order and of his government. God's order is for Christ to be the head of his church, and the different congregations that assemble to be independent congregations, overseen by elders and served by deacons. It is man in his wisdom that tries to organize this into an organic hierarchy and put some man or some body over the government of their denomination. God promises to bless and to help his people in the earthly kingdom which he did promise, until it surpassed earthly power and glory, all the kingdoms of the earth, that they might learn the insufficiency of human wisdom as ways, and to depend upon them is rebellious and failure. That is, to depend upon them for the spiritual blessings which we are to enjoy. Now let's look at the text about Solomon's sins and his downfall. We'll be reading verse by verse, beginning in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 6 through 11. And so in 1 Kings 11, verse 6, we read, Solomon did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and went not fully after Jehovah, as did David his father. Verse 4 says it was when Solomon was old. As stated above, he reigned 40 years, 1 Kings 11:42. He was a young man, about 20 years of age when he began to reign. Hence, he was about 60 when he died. His decline began probably 10 or 12 years before his death. He had a bright start in life and a glorious youth, but he went down in old age when he should have been in his prime, physically, mentally, and spiritually. But he was weak. His sensualism and other pleasures had weakened his constitution. His sins had greatly destroyed his influence. His great works and wealth were burdens to him. And when he should have been mightiest in his hope, the brightest, the premature old age, his son went down behind in a cloud. Then one may yield to temptation in old age. The promise is to him who endures unto the end. Solomon disobeyed God in marrying heathen women. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and Hittites, of the nations concerning which Jehovah said unto the children of Israel, "Ye shall not go in among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love, and he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 3. Having so many wives with eastern monarchs was in keeping with Solomon's wealth and his worldly greatness. It was the idea in the east that it added to the ruler's greatness and fame to maintain a great number of wives. The king of Israel was forbidden to multiply horses and silver and gold and wives unto himself. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, we read, "When thou art come into the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are round about me. Thou shalt surely set him a king over thee, whom Jehovah thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set a king over thee. Thou mayest not put a foreigner over thee who is not thy brother, only he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, unto the end that he may multiply horses. Forasmuch as Jehovah hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way, neither shall he multiply wives unto himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." And yet, in spite of that law, that is exactly what Solomon did. To do those things was the way of the world, and God's people should depend upon him and not upon worldly power and worldly greatness. Solomon disobeyed God in all these particulars, but not all at once. His sins grew upon him, and before they entered the land of promise, God forbade the children of Israel forming any covenant and making marriages with the nations which inhabited that country, giving as the reason that they were unclean, corrupt, idolatrous, and abominable, and would turn the children from following him to the service of their gods. The visible images and sensual services of their gods to these nations were in contrast to the spiritual service of the invisible God with great temptations. God demanded the children of Israel to break down their altars, to dash them in pieces, to hew down the pillars of the Ashtaroth and burn the graven images of these nations, and to drive those nations out of the land and to destroy them utterly. But they did not. You know, we read that we're to mortify the sins of the flesh in our own body, but so many do not, and it results in their downfall.